We are moving now, so I hope everyone has their badge with their orange dot, to the committee report of the Constitution and Bylaws Committee. So we'll give the microphone over to Gabe again. He'll be there in a minute. How about a door prize?
Door prize!
Okay. So what we're going to do is take a bag from over there. Okay. Over there. See, I was talking to Ed. You know, he's a sighted person, so I can say, over there. And I kind of pointed. So in this bag, it's a Muttstrut 2012 bag. There's also a chill mat. And do we, chill mat and a bandana? And a, oh, and one of those really cool bone waste bag dispensers for the puppies. Puppies, poopies. All righty. Let me draw that. Oh, I hear barking. Cool. Who is it? Gail Crossan, are you in the room? Yay! All right. But you know what? I bet you, yeah. I was just going to say. And there's only one person, so all the other volunteers are probably busy helping people, or do we have a second up here to help Ed? Okay. Let's do one more door prize. Do we have some money? Yeah, because Ed's doing all this on his own and takes longer that way. Okay, what do we have? All right. So what we're going to do, let me let you guys know what we have in cash here. We have a $25 prize from Bayview. And at the very end of the business meeting, we are going to draw for a $50 cash prize right before we adjourn. Okay, so stick around, Mary Lou says. Okay, let's have Jeff pick that name so that when he picks me or Mitch, I won't get in trouble. Oh. Andy Baracco, are you in the room? Not yet. And also, you're going to get a Muttstrut shirt of your size. So I'm going to... Rick Plath, are you in the room? Mary Lou. He's trying again. When you take... Eric Calhoun, are you in the room? Nope. He's here at convention. He was. When you take the cash prize to the person, find out what size Muttstrut shirt that they... Where? Les Sabotnik. Les already has one, actually, because he was there with us that day. A Muttstrut shirt, anyway. $25 in cash and a Muttstrut t-shirt. Vivian Younger. Andrea Pitzenberger. Well, and actually, I was also going to get you a Muttstrut bag with a chill pad as well. Yes. Yes, yes.
Wow.
All righty. Margie says, but does she want it? Yes, you did. Does she have a mutt? She has kitties. She's kitty mama. All righty. Gabe, are you ready?
I'm ready.
All righty. We'll take a break for the door prizes, and we will give it to Gabe Griffith, our Constitution and Bylaws Chair. Gabe?
Okay. This will probably not be the last time you hear from me on these. Okay, this will be the second reading of amendments, and then we will, this is the one where we will have discussion and voting. This is on Article 8, Chapter Affiliation. The first item is Section 8.2. The original language is, to apply for affiliation with the California Council of the Blind, the group desiring to be affiliated shall submit to the president and treasurer of the council a copy of its constitution and a list of the names and addresses of its members. The officers of the group shall be indicated on the list if the council, either in convention assembled or by action of the board of directors, approves the affiliation. The council president shall issue to the accepted group a certificate of affiliation. Changes. After members and before the sentence beginning with if, do the following. Add and phone number, email address, if any, format of choice, and vision status, i.e. blind, low vision, or sighted. And then we will also delete, the officers of the group shall be indicated on the list, and we will insert, an officer information sheet must be submitted, which includes all officers' names, addresses, phone numbers, and email addresses, if any, as well as information requested for the CCB website and CCB email discussion lists. So the proposed language would read, Section 8.2, to apply for affiliation with the California Council of the Blind, the group desiring to be affiliated shall submit to the president and treasurer of the council a copy of its constitution and a list of the names, addresses, phone number, email address, if any, format of choice, and vision status, i.e. blind, low vision, or sighted, of its members. An officer information sheet shall be submitted, which includes all officers' names, addresses, phone numbers, and email addresses, if any, as well as information requested for the CCB website and CCB email discussion lists. If the council, either in a convention assembled or by action of the board of directors, approves the affiliation, the council president shall issue to the accepted group a certificate of affiliation. The Constitution and Bylaws Committee recommends a do pass, and I so move.
Okay, we have motion and a second. I hear discussion. Mitch Pomerantz, if we can get him a mic. Please stand. He's up. You are in your snake shirt. Yes, it's purple, and he was playing with a baby python in South Africa years ago wearing that shirt.
Yep. Have the picture in our office.
Yes. Go ahead.
Gabe, and I brought this up yesterday, and I don't want to take a whole lot of time. What I'd like to propose, if the committee would accept it as a friendly amendment, is substitute the phrase president and treasurer for the phrase secretary in care of the office of the California Council of the Blind. I'm sorry?
No, it's okay.
No. I think that as far as I'm concerned, that would probably be acceptable.
Very good.
Because it's care of the office anyway, so...
That's correct. And the secretary really is the appropriate person. Secretary handles correspondence and all relevant paperwork relative to the organization.
Mr. Chair.
Yes.
I know that this committee said president and treasurer because that's exactly who is supposed to do it in other areas of our constitution and such. So I think you guys are probably trying to, you know, go by consistency with our constitution.
And actually, yes, because that was the original language in there.
Yes. What I would like to ask also is that the president be added to this. So it would be president and secretary.
So basically we're changing president and treasurer to president and secretary in care of the CTB office?
Yes. Artis.
Okay, I have a question, and maybe this is technical, but I don't know that the secretary actually sees all these things. Doesn't the office generally handle it? And I know that there's some issues with documents. It's usually referred to the membership committee to help assist. So I don't know if you even need secretary in there. Wouldn't president in the office be sufficient?
It gets forwarded.
The secretary, you're correct. Logistically, the secretary doesn't see them. And the office gets forwarded to actually even beyond just the president. So logistically, the secretary wouldn't see them. Okay, Margie and then Mitch.
What I'm talking about future, not what's been done in the past, but we elect a secretary for a purpose, and that secretary should be actively involved with those types of things, and I'm speaking in favor of the motion to amend to include the secretary and the president. Thank you.
Well, Margie said most of what I was going to say. Look.
Yes.
You know, I made a comment the other day about tradition, but I'm really not all that hidebound. Folks, you're going to get a stiff neck if all you ever do is look backwards. I am telling you, that every organization's secretary, not the treasurer, and I'm sorry, Madam President, not the president, deals with this paperwork. Several candidates recently said they want to see CCB run as a business. That's how you run it as a business, by allowing the secretary to do what the secretary is empowered to do under Robert's Rules of Order.
Okay, so since now the person that said the amendment was friendly doesn't necessarily sound very friendly, but we know he is.
I have my moments.
Oh, okay. So any more discussion? Hearing none. John Mavis. Wait a minute, you have to wait. Wait. John, you have to... Okay, hold on, folks. They're turning it on. And you have to put it... That's okay.
Just let him speak.
Still not on?
It's on now.
Okay, now. Anybody hear me?
Yes.
Okay. Been a long time since I've got on the floor and said anything, but I think you're overlooking a point. The president of an organization is in charge of all committees and considering in all of them. I don't think you need to have to be spelled out in the bylaws where the president, if it's the secretary's duty to take care of the secretarial's work, then they should do that. I would go along with Mitch and agree into that, and we should have to don't need to add the president's name in because the president, automatically by Robert Rules of Order, is already there. Thank you for listening to me.
Okay. Thank you. Any more discussion? All those in favor of... It was friendly. It was a friendly amendment, and so therefore it is part of the motion. All those in favor of...
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Thank you. Motion carries. Mr. Chair, continue, please. Maybe I should have had those bottles of wine for this morning, huh? Virgin mimosas, which is orange juice. Okay, Mr. Chair, whenever you're set.
Okay, I was just trying to get back to my spot and put a note. Okay, the second item is going to be on Article 8, Section 6. And it currently reads, Section 8.6, each chapter of the council shall notify the council president of election results in writing after each chapter election or after...
Gabe's battery went out.
Okay.
There we go.
Thanks, Ed. In writing after each chapter election or after any change of officers in such chapter. Changes are at the end of the section, add in accordance with the bylaws. So the proposed language would say, Section 8.6, each chapter of the council shall notify the council president of election results in writing after each chapter election or after any change of officers in such chapter in accordance with the bylaws. The committee recommends a do pass, and I so move.
Do we have a second? Margie seconds, and we're not discussing. Okay. Margie seconds. Actually, no, Margie firsts. And do we have a second? We have a second. If we could get a mic to Margie for her comment in discussion.
Okay, again. A friendly amendment, and I believe it should go to the secretary. Doesn't the amendment say the president? It should go to the secretary. The secretary is in charge of all of our correspondences. And then the secretary needs to pass that, which obviously would, onto the office for management of necessary business. So my friendly amendment is to remove president and have secretary.
Madam President, can I take
a... Go ahead, Gabe. Gabe is chair. Hold on.
Here?
Go ahead.
Margie, would you be acceptable to what we said in the last one and say...
Yes, president and secretary.
President and secretary in care
Thank
of the
you.
Office.
Okay, that is... Andrea's calling for the floor.
Okay, this is probably a really stupid question, so my apologies in advance.
And if we can have quiet... Please, so that
don't we already, we do this already because we fill out the officer information sheets, right? And assumably that happens, well, it happens twice a year now, but it's going to happen once a year when, so would this cover a case where it wasn't close, because all chapters have elections at different times, so I assume that's why we're doing it this way? Because we're already doing this.
Madam President, may I respond to that?
Okay, go ahead, Gabe.
So, Andrew, what it is is that the Constitution currently requires chapters to submit changes of roster whenever that stuff changes. What we're doing with this, combined with the bylaw that we're introducing, is to actually
Can we have order on the floor, please?
Basically, we're just trying to codify and put in writing the requirement for an officer information sheet that's not in the Constitution currently.
Madam President, who called first? I heard
Gene.
Steve, but someone else called.
Gene.
Gene and then Steve.
You know,
We have a very unique board, and the role of the president is not the traditional role. Because we do not have an executive director, the president is not only the overseeing the policy-making board, but is also the executive director of the office. And I understand there's a recording secretary and there's a corresponding secretary and a lot of businesses and groups there, but I think we need to keep the president involved in this thing. Day-to-day operation is under the control of the president, and we need to have the continuity and uniformity throughout the whole operation. I think before we start making some additional major changes, we maybe then need to sit down and really hammer out the duties and responsibilities and the job description, not just Robert rules, but of what are these officers' responsibilities that are unique to this organization. So
order on the floor, please.
So I right now feel that I'm not going to object about the secretary, but if there's a movement to eliminate the president, I really have a...
Gene,
thank you.
What ended up happening, and thank you very much, what ended up happening was they allowed for president to be put back in there on all of this language. So thank you very much.
Okay.
Steve Mendelson.
Does the reference to chapters include statewide affiliates, and if not, should it?
Okay. I think that we have decided in the past that by inference it refers to chapters and statewide affiliates. So, but if everybody likes, we can specify chapter and affiliate.
Okay. Yes.
There's lots of places, Steve, that we probably need to clean it up, and I think the best way to do it, instead of doing it today in one or two spots, would be to have the committee, and I'm not a part of the committee, but we did discuss it, to clean up all those places subsequently, like next year maybe.
Madam President, can I actually add to what Jeff said?
Yes, go ahead.
Okay. Yeah, Steve, Jeff is exactly right, and I had forgotten that. Artists and I have talked about as getting together as membership and constitution, and there's a lot of areas, both in Article 8 and 9, that we really need to clean up. So I would say for today, if everybody is okay with it, let's leave it as the inference, and we will do much work between now and the next convention to clean up these couple of articles in reference to chapter and affiliate. Does that work for you, Steve?
Hello. I'm Mike Keithley. Does writing mean email? The changes have to be communicated in writing. Does that mean email, too? Does that include email?
Yeah, I believe it does. I believe an email would be acceptable. Yeah, because we, as long as it's a format that the office can, put into a documentation form and be saved for future reference.
Madam Chair, this is Roger Peterson. I wanted to add to Gabe's answer to these questions. As of now, we had chapters before we had statewide affiliates, and the subject matter of Article 8 is chapters. We then wrote an Article 9 that refers to statewide affiliates, and it says that in it that statewide affiliates have all the duties and requirements that chapters have. We discussed the possibility in the future of making an article that includes both kinds of affiliated organizations in the same article, which would make it a lot cleaner, but we can't do that right now.
Thank you, Roger.
Any other discussion? All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. Thank you. Mr. Chair, next one, please.
All right. Item number 3 is section 8.7. Each chapter of the council shall send annually to the president and the treasurer of the council a list of the names and addresses of its members. Changes? At the end of the section, add, along with their phone number or phone numbers, email addresses, if any, format choice, and site status. So the proposed language would read section 8.7. Each chapter of the council shall send annually to the president and the treasurer of the council a list of the names and addresses of its members, along with their phone numbers, email addresses, if any, format choice, and site status. The committee recommends a do pass, and I so move.
Do we have a second? All right.
And
Mitch seconded. And Mitch has a...
And I'm guessing Mitch is going to say the amendment that I'm hearing from Roger as well. We want to change
secretary and president care of the office of the California Council of the Blind.
Okay.
I had a feeling I heard Mitch saying it as I was reading it.
Okay. Consistency art a gem.
Isn't it, though? I agree. All right. Did Roger call for the floor as well? And then, okay, Roger was saying the same thing. Let's give the microphone over to Steve, please.
Situations may arise, and the right exists, of course, under law, for members to decline to give their information now in light of what we were told by the technical operations group yesterday about it's not requiring information that people don't want to give. Should we include here a provision that, of course, chapters will not be held responsible for providing the names and addresses or phone numbers, et cetera, of people who decline to give them, and then making clear that people have a right not to give them?
I'd like to speak to that point. As I stated partially in my report yesterday, our auditors are looking at everything now. And I realize that the auditors have a specific responsibility. I don't know what rosters they're going to look at. Frankly, The technical operations group and the website is one thing. There needs to be contact people if we are going to grow our affiliate. If you don't want your material published on the website, then don't run for office so that people won't be able to find you. Okay? Folks, we want members. Folks need to be able to find us wherever we live if we put ourselves in leadership positions. Now, to the chapter issue, if you don't want to give that information to the office, then, you know, maybe what I'm saying is controversial. At this point, I don't care. If you don't trust us, then don't join. Okay? Okay, one moment. I will give it to Christy after I am finished. Okay? Look, we don't want you on our roster if you don't want to give your name, address, phone number, email. Let me tell you what we do. When someone calls and they may say, oh, I'm such and such's cousin, or I'm such and such's, you know, good friend, and I lost their number. I was talking to them just 2 weeks ago, and I want to catch up with them, et cetera, et cetera. We say, and we share with our chapter leadership to do this as well. We say, give us your contact information, and we'll contact them so they can get in touch with you. Because that's great that you've reunited with your long-lost family member, and they'll call you. Okay? So, please, if you don't want to give it, then you just won't be counted on the roster. And please don't give us that heartache. Thank you. Christy.
What we do when chapter members don't want their information given out publicly is we put parentheses, unlisted, into parentheses.
That is a very good suggestion. And I think that would be very easy to implement. Ed, is that? Absolutely. Thank you, Christy. Margie calls for the floor.
Thank you very much. I want to speak in favor of having our elected officials of our local chapters on our website. I recently had the opportunity with some local theater stuff in Sacramento where we have audio description, wanting to go through and email a number of the chapters in the area so that they know about that. And, you know, a lot of our chapter stuff was missing. None of the NFB stuff was missing. So it serves a number of purposes, not only to our organization, but externally for new things that are happening in the area, such as audio description. I want my local chapters to know. Thank you.
Okay, folks, any other? Okay.
Question at the AV table.
More discussion? Okay.
Hi, this is Vida. A lot of, you can get a free email address online. So instead of using your personal address, you can do sangabrielchapter@gmail.com. And that's perfectly, if someone in your chapter is willing to check that email address, you can use that as your contact information. That's my suggestion to you if you don't want to put a personal email address.
Absolutely. There are a number of ways that you can do that. And hearing from the Technical Operations Group Chair, you can contact her. And if you're not sure of the things you can do, they will definitely assist you with that as far as personal email goes. Is there another question, or do we call for the question or discussion? Okay, someone is calling for the question. All those in favor of this as amended signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. Thank you. Gabe?
Thank you. All right. Let's see how controversial this next one's going to be. This is going to be section 8.9. The original language is, each chapter shall elect a delegate who is a current voting member of the chapter to attend council conventions and cast the chapter's vote. The chapter may also elect an alternate delegate who is a current voting member of the chapter.
Folks, if we can please have quiet as you're walking in or walking out, because it's out in the hall, then can we close the door? And I still see light out there, so the door isn't being closed. Okay. See, just enough vision to be dangerous. And I see a clump of people in the back of the room, so I hope you're not talking. Okay. Please start it over, Gabe.
Okay. All right. So section 8.9, original language. Each chapter shall elect a delegate who is a current voting member of the chapter to attend council conventions and cast the chapter's vote. The chapter may also elect an alternate delegate who is a current voting member of the chapter. The chapter shall provide its delegate and alternate delegate with a credential. Such credential must be submitted to the council president and treasurer, yes, I hear Mitch,
at least 30 days prior to each CCB convention. No credential of a delegate or alternate delegate.
Folks, can we please have quiet over there in the corner?
May be accepted unless the annual dues of the chapter seeking to be represented are paid. This section is subject to the provisions set forth in the council bylaws. Proposed changes. At the end of the section, do the following. Delete, this section is subject to the provisions set forth in the council bylaws, and add, along with the roster as required in section 8.7 and the officer information sheet required in the bylaws. So the proposed language would read, section 8.9, each chapter shall elect a delegate who is a current voting member of the chapter to attend council conventions and cast the chapter's vote. The chapter may also elect an alternate delegate who is a current voting member of the chapter. The chapter shall provide its delegate and alternate delegate with a credential. Such credential must be submitted to the council president and treasurer at least 30 days prior to each CCB convention. No credential of a delegate or alternate delegate may be accepted unless the annual dues of the chapter seeking to be represented are paid along with the roster as required in section 8.7 and the officer information sheet required in the bylaws. The Constitution Bylaws Committee recommends a do pass, and I so move.
Do I have a second? We have several seconds. Any discussion? Is he going to say what you think he's going to say?
Mitch, are you saying something different than what I'm expecting you to say?
Yes.
Oh.
Ditto.
Our resolution chair says, good job, Rush. Other discussion?
Okay. Yes.
Steve Mendelson?
Oh, I'm sorry. It's Andrea, and I have the mic right now.
Okay.
I don't sound like Steve.
Hold on one second.
He sounds better.
Quick point of information for the mic runners. Will you please, as I recognize folks, you probably see folks quicker, but I go by what I hear. So we'll take Andrea, Steve.
Sorry, I had the mic in my hand when you said Steve. So I'm wondering if we need to include, since we're going for inclusive language, does credentials chair need to be included in there where it says will be submitted to the president, secretary, in other words, president, secretary, and credentials chair?
Mr. Chair?
No, I've got a mic here. I was just pausing because I'm just trying to think. I would maybe defer to Donna and maybe Roger. Does anybody else have any thought? I don't have a problem with it, but logistically I'd want to check with other Constitution people. Donna, how does this work logistically? Does that make sense?
What I would state is that the credentials chair is definitely involved. We could put that language in there if the body so wishes. There definitely is no harm in it. Roger? Yes. Okay. Roger says the office provides it to the credentials, so let us go by that.
Have everybody writing to three or four places?
Good question. Well, that's kind of what we have been working on, you're correct. Steve.
Yeah, the proposed language states that the credential must be submitted to the appropriate officials, whoever they turn out to be, at least 30 days prior to the convention in question.
Yes.
It also says that, of course, dues must be paid. I would imagine yes. situations will arise in which a chapter's failure to pay its dues will become known to it, will become manifest to it, only after the credential is refused. But by that time, of course, the 30-day period would have begun to run. So will chapters be permitted to pay their back dues within that 30-day window? And if so, will the credential be accepted?
Can you say that again? I may be tired.
Okay,
I'm not
yeah.
sure it is, but
Let's take an example. The convention is on April 12th. So the credential has to be in by March 13th. March 13th comes, the credential is not in, or the credential is in, but they haven't paid the dues. So you call up the chapter, you say, chapter, you haven't paid your dues. And they say, okay, we'll pay them next week. They pay them on March 20th. But by then, it's less than 30 days from the date of the convention. So can the credential be accepted retroactively?
No.
No, I would say no, because that's part of compliance with several sections of
but
the
But that's how, and I appreciate the administrative issues here, but that's how I imagine a lot of chapters who have neglected to pay their dues will become aware of that fact. And they might want to, pay them.
Well, chapters have to have their dues.
Order on the floor, please.
Madam President, may I respond?
Yes.
If
we can, hold on, folks.
It's stated other places in the Constitution that chapter dues must be in by February 15th, if memory serves. So
yes.
It's not just this section, Steve. There's several sections within the Constitution that address when dues have to be in. And 30 days prior to a convention, in most cases, is going to be well after other places already require
it. So we're willing to forego dues for the sake of an administrative convenience. I understand that. I just want to make clear that's what we want to do.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay, Pam Pology, who is credentials chair, and then there was a lady on the left, Charlene.
I'm a little confused here, and that's nothing new, but... as credentials chair, since I've been doing it since 2012 or 11, I was always told that the spring credentials were to be in 45 days prior, and that's what we've been doing the last couple of years.
What we did was there were changes made to the Constitution that will begin to take, that have taken effect, and some will be, for instance, the dues is due February 15th,
right?
According to how it states now. So we don't need to worry anything at all about the previous.
Well, no, but my question is, so are you going to have, and I realize at one point we're going to only have one convention a year, but right now we have the next convention coming on April 10th.
Correct.
So are you changing it from last year where we had to have it 45 days prior to now just having the dues and the nominating information and everything, and their credentials just 30 days, so that I'm just wanting to know what to enforce.
Dues and I'm not remembering that constitutional amendment.
Last year...
Well, no, I'm thinking of how it was amended related to the credentials itself, and I'm not remembering, and Gabe is here next to me, or Jeff or Roger. If you recall that.
I'm not recalling.
One moment, Rob. Yeah, Jeff isn't, Gabe is not remembering.
It used to be that we said that things had to be in 45 days before the spring convention, and then updated 30 days before the fall convention.
Correct.
We took all that stuff out and said February 15th.
It's all February 15th. Thank you, Roger.
So that doesn't matter when the convention is? It's always
correct.
February 15th? Okay.
Yeah.
Then
good question.
I'll remember that. Thank you.
Well, Rob, wait.
Rob and the Mitch.
Rob wanted, Roger took care of it. Thank you, Rob. Mitch. No, Charlene and then Mitch. Charlene and then Mitch, apologies.
I just wanted to mention, and it might help all this. Adding the chair to the credentials committee actually kind of muddies the water because, first of all, the office gets all that information to the chair. The clubs and affiliates do not send it to the chair. They send it to the office. If the chair were to be the one getting the information, they cannot verify that the dues are current and paid. So leaving it with the president and the secretary of the office makes it clear, is consistent, and it goes to the chair of the of the committee anyway.
Yes, it's care of the secretary, president, care of the office. So yes, you're correct.
I'm getting out of here just in time. Secretary's going to have a lot more to do.
And the president is going to have some assistance, elected assistance. It's going to be wonderful. Okay, Mitch.
Let me just respond to Steve's comment. Steve, you know, there are administrative responsibilities, and that's why we have the 30-day notice. Not only do dues have to be submitted to CCB, but also to ACB from the state. You know, my expectation, and I've kind of become a fanatic on personal responsibility, and I don't have a lot of, and I have lost patience for people who won't take it. My feeling is that once February 15th comes and goes, and there are chapters who haven't paid their dues, then the president and or the secretary or whomever they delegate that responsibility to has a responsibility to get on the phone and nag the hell out of whoever hasn't paid dues for that chapter and make sure it's being done. And if it isn't done, then obviously they're not all that interested in being an affiliate.
Or at least a credentialed affiliate.
Thank you. Okay. We have Margie. And before I give it to Margie, I want to say that the membership committee had to call folks several times. This should not be happening anymore. Okay. Margie and then Bernice.
Thank you.
And then we'll call for the question.
I have a question and a concern. And my question is, we're sitting here and we're passing these amendments today, but I would be willing to bet that there's very few presidents of chapters in here. So I'd like to know how we are going to inform the chapter of these changes.
Okay, good question. First of all, there are delegates of every chapter, at least there should be.
No, there's
delegates
not.
Of every
left.
Chapter.
Some have left.
In this room. Then, hold on, folks. If they have left, the convention is not over, and I guess they're not as interested in the business of this organization as they should be.
Madam Chair.
Hold on. It is the responsibility of the delegates to inform their presidents, etc. Now, knowing in this case that folks may not get that information, because I've learned a lot about communication where, you know, somebody believes that the person responsible is doing what they're doing and they don't want to nag them or check up on them because they've told them and they know. And then the night before they find out it hasn't been done. I commit to have a conference call with all presidents before the end of this year to inform folks and presidents and officers of the chapter so that we could do this by phone as well. Thank you. Okay.
Hold on one second.
Margie had one more comment, and then we were taking it to Bernice, and then we were calling for the question.
Great. So I just want to say this for the record, and this is not about you personally, Donna, but we will have a new president in the future, and it feels to me that a lot of what's going on in here this morning is being micromanaged by the president. And I really believe that we have elected officers, such as our secretary, such as our membership committee, and I'm really uncomfortable with everything having to go to the president. And I'm not sure that that's a good precedent for us to set for our next president. Thank you.
It's actually been in our Constitution that that comment is a good comment. I have no problem saying that the reason I support it is because of the fact that when the folks don't do it, guess who gets responsible for having to do it at the last minute? The president. Remember, someone said earlier, and I can't remember who it was, but I thank you for saying it. It came out in our strategic planning time. Currently, the president is also the executive director of this organization. And folks need to remember that unfortunate circumstance. And no, Bernice, and then we call for the question, please. Thank you.
There's been an ongoing issue for many years about when you talked in there about a voting member of a chapter as being a delegate. And sometimes the chapter doesn't have someone that can come, but they have a non-home member that is willing to come.
Well, Bernice, I agree with that, but I believe a non-home member is still a voting member of the chapter.
It depends
in most cases.
Yeah. Depends on your constitution.
But in most cases, it is. Yes, but does the question that's always been batted around is...
Can we have order on the floor, please?
Is that non-home member that can vote in a chapter...
Can we have order on the floor? Thank you.
Would they qualify to be the delegate and vote
yes.
at the convention?
Yes.
Yes, as long as they're a voting member of the chapter.
If they're a voting member of the chapter, yes.
Okay.
Okay. Okay.
We have Mitch calling for
the motion. Well, if I give it to Mitch, then I give it to Louie.
Mitch is just calling the previous question.
Oh, Mitch is calling the previous question. Thank you. Call for the question. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. Thank you. Mr. Chair.
All right. And we are down to the final item, which I read yesterday, even though a bylaw does not require a previous reading because it relates back to some of the other stuff that we did. I'd like to think that we can pass this fairly easily because much of what we've done today refers to a bylaw that until now doesn't exist. So hopefully we can put it into existence. There is no original language. So what we're proposing is to create a new bylaw that would be numbered and written as follows. This would be bylaw 4, chapter officer information. Each chapter and affiliate shall submit an officer information sheet to the council office. This officer information sheet shall include the officer's name, phone number, mailing address, email address, if any, as well as information for the CCB website and CCB email discussion lists. This officer information sheet shall be submitted along with the roster and shall be updated within 30 days of any change in officers. The Constitution Bylaws Committee recommends a do pass, and I so move.
We have several seconds. Any discussion? All those in favor?
Madam President, actually, may I make one quick comment?
Okay.
There had been a question that was brought to me about, does this mean that would have to be submitted right after, within 30 days of elections or 30 days of officers taking place, since many chapters have elections in, say, November, and those officers take place on January 1st? Roger, maybe correct me if I'm wrong, but the sentiment of the committee was that would be when the officers' change takes place. So that would be 30 days of January 1st if those officers take place then, or whenever the elected officers take place, or throughout the year if an officer resigns or for some other reason an officer changes. So I
one
just
moment,
to,
Roger I, needs to.
I was just wanting to give some explanation of, you know, when that 30 days would start.
What do I need to do?
Ask him the question in a sentence.
You're asking me. I agree with you.
Yeah, I'm asking you to correct me if I was wrong on what the committee had
I always do.
Day.
What did he say? Correct you if you're wrong.
We always do, is what Roger said. Let me let Gabe, Roger speak. Go ahead, Roger.
I'm sorry. I'm just saying I'm agreeing with Gabe that whenever the change occurs in those cases you're talking about, and our chapter does that, the change occurs on January 1st. Now, it would be prudent, it seems to me, to let the office know that the officers are going to be changing on January 1st. But the change actually occurs on January 1st, so you do have 30 days after that. But sometimes officers change when somebody dies or somebody resigns or whatever, and it has to be done any time there's a change in officers.
Okay, is that Christy? And then I think I heard Margie. Okay. Christy.
I'm kind of concerned. First of all, I think 30 days is a long time in today's electronic and telephonic society. And, okay, so January, whenever your meeting happens, when the officers take change, let's say, for instance, our meeting is the second Saturday of the month, so that could be up to January 14th. We wouldn't have to make a change let you know until let the office know until the 14th of February. I'm just thinking that it should be 30 days of the election.
Okay. Wait. Uh-huh. Okay. Let's go to Margie.
Thank you. I agree in theory with what's been said. The challenge I see is that does the office know when every chapter has their elections? And that could be scattered throughout the year. Does the office know when there's a change? So I think just 30 days is sufficient, and what the office ultimately cares about is getting that list. And I really don't know how the office or how you, Donna, as president, or how Judy as secretary or whoever is going to be able to micromanage when each chapter has an election or a change.
Okay.
All right, move the question.
Well, okay, I hear someone calling for the question. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Okay, two oppositions, one abstention. Motion carries. Thank you.
Madam President?
Yes, Mr. Chair.
That concludes the report from the Constitution and Bylaws Committee. And before I conclude, I would like to thank Roger Peterson and David Jackson, members of the committee who joined us, and there were several others that came in. I know Artis was there, Jeff, and at least a couple of others that I'm not sure who exactly were. So I would like to thank the members of the committee and the guests that came in and participated in our discussion Friday afternoon. So it was probably one of the best attended and liveliest Constitution Bylaws Committee meetings that I have presided over since becoming the chair. So thank you, and that does now conclude my report.
Okay. That was interesting. I've never heard a point of order in the middle of a thank you. That's all right. Gabe, are you finished with your...
Yes.
Okay. Let's give our chair a great big hand.
The Constitution bylaw amendment report be accepted.
Okay. And we have a second.
Wait, are you moving the amendment be accepted or the report?
Oh, there he goes. Okay. All right. Any discussion on that? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
You're welcome.
All righty. All right. Doug wants a point of order, and we shall give him a mic. Go ahead, Doug.
Hello. First of all, I humbly apologize. I didn't realize that was the last bylaw. My point of order is generally, and I wish the parliamentarian would address, I keep hearing people in the audience yelling, call for the question. I thought it was the president's job to limit debate or say the debate was over or whatever. Anybody who decides that they're tired of what's being said yells call for the question. To me, that's a meaningless motion. I wish the parliamentarian would please explain that.
Okay. Thank you. And what I do, and yes, absolutely, there is someone else coming in after me, and you don't know who you are, but you'll be here. So in 2015. So what I do, just to let you guys know, the moment I hear someone say call for the question, that's when I do it. So if folks in the audience want to call for the question, and I hear you, I will definitely call for the question. Yeah. Well, no, anyway. Anyway, okay.
We've ruled on this.
It definitely has been discussed previously, and that's the way I do it, and the next person that comes in can do it another way. But thank you so much for your comment.